Welcome to Catholic Vitamins, your dose of spiritual supplements from A to Z. Catholic Vitamins, specially formulated to help you achieve optimum spiritual health. It's time to energize your faith, forget what lies behind, and press on toward the goal.
We've already won.
Here are your hosts for Catholic Vitamins, Deacon Tom Fox and his lovely wife, Dee.
Hi from high atop, well, from the second floor of the Fox Mansion. This is Deacon Tom.
And Dee.
And we are in the podcast palace. We are prepared to bring you, we hope, some more education for your faith walk from A to Z. This Catholic Vitamin show is Catholic Vitamin E for...
education.
What kind of education can we offer, Dee? Well, we could talk about some of the things that are going on in our parish and in our life for our Lenten faith walk.
As we journey along with everyone else during this Lent.
What show number is it?
This is show number 344.
Wow.
And our guest for this Catholic Vitamin E is Diane Duncan.
One of the areas of education that we hope to share is the critical need for helping men and women who have had the experience of abortion in their life, or ladies who have had a stillbirth or some form of problem pregnancy that didn't end as they had hoped. And so we'll get into all of that with our guest, Diane, a very special lady that I met at the Catholic Charismatic Conference in Phoenix a little while back. Dee, at the top of our notes, not that these are in any order, the top of our notes, I noticed that we went to our Lenten soup supper again.
Our second one.
This was sponsored by the St. Vincent de Paul Society. We have a very, very active food bank operation in our community. Our community is about 15,000 population, and I think that this is probably more active and does more than down in the Phoenix Valley.
I think I could believe that.
Yeah. Very.
And what about 2-3 years ago, they also opened up a thrift store. It's actually three different buildings compose this thrift mall. They call it a thrift mall. And it all the proceeds support the food bank.
So if you were Deacon Tom, who prides himself on being open to ideas, when I heard that they were going to do a thrift shop, I said, holy Moses, the last thing that this town needs is another thrift store.
And I could see that reaction because we do have a lot of thrift stores.
Yeah, but they did a wonderful job with it, the thrift mall, St. Vincent de Paul Thrift Mall. It's all top-notch stuff.
When they opened it up, it was just the first building they had. It was just like, it was like a boutique store. I mean, they had, somebody had some decorating sense, and they displayed everything so nicely, mm-hmm. and it wasn't junky at all. It was just, it was very, very nice to walk into.
So they started raising money, and they have become a large fundraiser for the food bank, as Dee just said a minute ago. And now to get back to what we started with, they sponsored the soup for the Friday evening after the Stations of the Cross soup event that we have during Lent. And gosh, there must have been, what, 10 soups, I would say?
At least.
All different sorts. There's always clam chowder, and there's vegetable. And there was no chili soup or stew this time. I was looking for...
You know, usually somebody will make a vegetarian chili,
mm-hmm.
meatless yep. chili. But did you hear Father's announcement this morning?
What's that?
Well, this coming Friday, so the third Friday of Lent, happens to be St. Patrick's Day.
Oh, yes. Yes, I remember now.
And the bishop in our diocese has given a dispensation against meat.
So here, by way of education, is words from our pastor. Every Friday in Lent, and Ash Wednesday, of course, but every Friday in Lent, you cannot eat meat. He said it doesn't matter if you're 200 years of age. You still, there's no dispensation for age. But this Friday, March 17th, right. is faith in Begorra, darling. It's St. Patrick's celebration. And the bishop has given us in our diocese the day off. And so we might, I might eat some meat on Friday.
I probably will too, because I won't be here.
Right. Now, wait a minute. You'll be in a different diocese then.
I'll be at a different diocese.
Uh-oh. All right. Well, let's move on. I don't know how to handle that. I don't know what the education factor is in that. So we're progressing on Lent. I'm listening to some things, watching some things on the internet. I'm enjoying Matthew Kelly's Best Lent Ever. This is the second or third Lent that I've done with him, and I'm reading the Deacon Tom Lenten meditation book.
I am too.
Are you really?
Yes, I am.
How can you put up?
I'm going to have to find another one to take with me on my little trip that I've got coming up. Because you and I have been sharing one copy downstairs, but can't do that if I'm not here.
We'll talk about that a little bit later in the show, D's Travel, that is. I want to say a word, and we're getting a little long in our first segment of Prattle, but Dee and I have a dear friend. I'm going to just use her first name, Sandy, Sandy G. Sandy was with us in our community and was a joyous member of our parish. I'm talking like past tense, but I mean she moved. That's what I'll be getting to. Mm-hmm. She was a member of our Faith Travelers group that met every couple weeks, and she was a holy hoot. Can I use those two words together? She was a joy to be around.
She was fun.
But she decided that she had to move, and she left and went back east where she was from, and eventually moved back to Pennsylvania where she is now. But one of the things that transpired is that Sandy was diagnosed after having some strange symptoms. She was diagnosed with having ALS. Those of you who are hearing those letters know that ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease, is a very critical and threatening event in the life of someone. And we've been in touch by text with Sandy because it's hard for her. She can't speak on the phone. But she did develop a device that allows her to speak. When we were visiting her personally last summer, uh-huh. I told her she sounded sexy with that device. She said, now. But
what's funny is that with this device, she can tease right back.
Yeah, she can, yeah. So what happened is, in the course of exchanging texts and sharing and caring about our dear friend Sandy, I came up with the idea that maybe she might share a little bit about what it's like to carry the cross of a serious illness. And I could share with you, dear friends, that Sandy has not let this change her attitude. She is. Just,
if I've met anybody with a great attitude for what they're going through, if I looked that up in the dictionary, it would be Sandy.
All right. Well, there you go. And so the next voice you're going to hear on our first break from Prattle is our dear friend Sandy, who's going to explain a little bit about the cross that she's carrying.
One thing I've discovered about crosses is that they are subject to change without warning. What seems like a cross one day turns out to be a branch or twig the next day, and vice versa. I know about crosses. I also know about joy and love. By that I mean when I first noticed a problem with my voice, that was a twig. But as I went from doctor to doctor trying to find out what was wrong with me, that became a branch. It wasn't until the final diagnosis that it became a cross. But now that I have a communication device, it went back to being a branch. I don't know if it will ever become a twig again. But that's what hope is all about.
Thank you. from the fear of having nothing, from a life of worldly passions. Deliver me, oh God, from the need to be understood, and from a need to be accepted, from the fear of being lonely. Deliver me, oh God. Deliver me, oh God. And I shall.
In my sharing with our dear friend Sandy G, back in Pennsylvania, I was telling her about Audrey Assad, and it just seems very appropriate as we concentrate a little bit on carrying our cross and the education of how to do that, that we would be pleased to share with you about Sandy and her situation, and then share Audrey Assad, "I Shall Not Want." Beautiful words of that old Christian hymn. A little later, we'll play Good to Me, one of my absolute favorites by Audrey Assad. Well, thank you, dear Sandy, for sharing a bit of education with all of us, that what seems the most frightening, the most scary, a cross that none of us would welcome in our lives, can have the benefit of helping us to see that things are always better when we involve the Lord in carrying the cross, because he will take a part of it.
I can only pray that I would have the strength and the attitude and the outlook that Sandy has had through all of this.
Amen.
If anything happened to
Amen.
Me like it, that.
We were very overjoyed. I already said this in the earlier segment, that we went to visit her mm-hmm. in Pennsylvania on our travels last year. And she was at that time staying with one sister and a visitor sister. And I don't mean nuns, I mean her real family sisters. And they fixed dinner for us, and we had just a lovely early evening dinner.
Right. Great visit.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, Sandy. Maybe we can talk you into sharing again a little bit from time to time on Catholic Vitamins, helping to educate us on this Catholic Vitamin E for education.
So what are the crosses you're carrying right now?
Well, I've got health challenges.
That was my segment to come in.
Yeah, I've got all kind of health challenges. But thanks be to God, at the moment, the Lord God has been merciful, and nothing is known to be critical. But I was down in the valley twice this past week. To our listeners who are in Poland or or someplace far away, when we talk about going to Phoenix, that's 90 miles away down a mountain canyon. And once down there, of course, you got to plan on a couple hours, because it's medical stuff and waiting for doctors and tests that they're going to run, and then back up. So it's usually a minimum of a half day, and this was 3/4 of a day. But I did get to confession while I was down there, and I got to Adoration D, and I have come up with an idea that I'm going to spring on people tomorrow at a communion service that I'll be leading as a deacon. Our priest is going to be away for meetings down in the valley, down in Tucson, and so I'll be doing a communion service. So if you come to the communion service tomorrow, you're going to hear something a little bit challenging. All right. So
Y'all mentioned allergies on here, which just made me remember that we got a scary text last evening. Found out that our little, under 2-year-old granddaughter ate a granola bar and had a awful allergic reaction to something in that bar. They don't know yet what exactly what it was, but they had to rush her to the ER. She had like swollen lips and swollen
vomiting.
Yeah, swollen eyes and a rash on her, and she was vomiting. Yeah,
it's very scary.
Very scary.
Very scary.
This is the family that just had the brand new baby too.
Gosh, what a thing to have to deal with. And so they're going to be going through an education process. Speaking of our vitamin for this show, they're going to be going through an education process, how it affects the diet of the young child and what they're going to have to watch out for.
For future emergencies, they gave them a prescription for an EpiPen.
Oh my.
That is scary, isn't it?
It is, yeah. All right, well, do we have anything else that we have to cover in Prattle segment number two? Because I'm anxious to bring our guests, but if we have anything else. We mentioned on our last show, I think we mentioned our friend who went into the monastery in Pennsylvania. Her name was Channing Dale. Some of you may remember. Was her podcast called This Catholic Life?
That sounds close. Yeah, that hers was close. The title of hers was close to another podcast that was out a couple of years ago, so I always get them confused.
So she did a wonderful job covering various aspects of the Catholic faith walk. And little did we know in the beginning when we first met her in terms of podcasters sharing information, and we had her on the show two times as our guest. But at any rate, little did we know in the early days that she was going to become a nun, and here she is, a cloistered nun in a Carmelite monastery in Elysburg, Pennsylvania.
And they are in the process. They broke ground, and they're in the process of construction on a brand new monastery that I forget how many miles away from the current one it is, but we're going to put a link to that because they're doing a fundraising.
Yeah, they are. They're much closer to the bishop and to the diocese headquarters in Pennsylvania. I'm not sure if that information alone is in the link, but if you have an idle, $5 million or even $1 million that you'd like to help with, I am, of course, being facetious because they would welcome $25 or any amount that anybody can help with. We'll put a link to this Carmelite monastery building project in our show notes for
on the website.
On our website, CatholicVitamins.com, where we explain each show that we do. And at any rate, look for that. And the nun's name that I was trying to think of a minute ago is
Sister Mary Magdalene of the Divine Heart.
Mary Magdalene of the Divine Heart, formerly Channing Dale. And we don't get to see her anymore, of course, because she's in a closed monastery. But we're in touch from time to time with her mother. And she gets to see her a couple, three times a year.
We're allowed to write to her, two times a year?
Right, Christmas and Easter. So we have a letter coming up that we'll be doing. Well, that's segment number two of Prattle, excuse my voice. And we're now ready to move into our time with our special guest, Diane. And once we do that, we'll be back with some more information on how to be educated about Lent. Next up on Catholic Vitamins, I'm on the phone with Diane Duncan. She's the director of Life Connections, a pregnancy resource and referral service found in the Prescott Valley of Arizona. And we'll get into all of that with Diane. I'll start by saying, Diane, welcome to Catholic Vitamins.
Thank you very much for having me. I'm excited to be here today and share what God is doing in our center and in my life.
Amen. Well, you and I met each other briefly at the Catholic Charismatic Conference in Phoenix recently, and you said that you felt that you responded to a little God nudge to come over and give me your card and to talk a little bit about the work that you're doing, and I'm so glad that you did that. But before we get started with current times, let's ask about Diane. When you were young, where were you born? What was your family of origin like, and what was your faith walk like in those early years?
Yeah, I was born in Grand Rapids, Michigan. My dad was a farmer. He was not Catholic. He was raised as a Dutch Reform, and my mother was a cradle Catholic. She was one of 10 children, and we lived about 30 minutes outside of Grand Rapids, and my dad was what you call a muck farmer. And so I was one of 5 children. My oldest brother and sister were twins, and another brother that followed, and I was the second to the last to be born. And so our life was very, all I remember as a child is working hard. So we always worked in the farm. We helped with the canning. We helped with the picking. You know, we played hard outside in the snow and in the summertime. And so it was really a life of family, revolving around the family. All of our vacations were spent either at my grandmother's, which was my mom's mom, up on her lake, which was close to Ludington, Michigan, or just with other family members. So my family origin was, we were very close. My grandmother and all my dad's sisters lived right across the street. So very close-knit family.
Sounds very idyllic, and I'm sure that, like any family, there were times when things were not idyllic, but sounds very wonderful. Did you have a root cellar or a fruit cellar where you stored things in the winter?
Oh, yeah. We had a basement in a fruit cellar, and my sister and I, it was our job to go down and get things out of the root cellar or the fruit cellar, and we hated it because it was always full of spiders and webs and
that's exactly why I asked, yes. We used to go from Detroit, Michigan, where I was born, up to near Lindsay, Ontario, Canada, where my uncle and his wife had a farm. And it was a great joy for a city kid to go to the farm. I'm sure it was a little different for you who lived there and were raised on one. But all right, so we have the picture of your family of origin and where you were raised. As you became a teen or a young adult, what happened as you journeyed on?
Yeah, so my family, my dad ended up losing the farm, and so we sold the farm, and we ended up moving to southern Michigan, which was kind of in the Detroit area, and he got a job at first working in construction. And then he had a friend from the service that worked at the new Chrysler stamping plant. So he got my dad into the Sterling stamping plant, and my dad became a millwright. He studied and became a millwright and worked at the Chrysler Sterling stamping plant in Sterling Hills, Michigan. And we bought a house in Rochester, Michigan, now known as Rochester Hills. And my dad worked a lot of nights then, and my mom was raising us 5 kids. And so life became kind of chaotic because my dad was working at night. And my brother that was just up from me, he was 2 years older than me, at age 13, he kind of started having what we know now as bipolar symptoms. At that time, we didn't know what it was called. But so things got a little crazy there for quite a few years because I didn't know how to treat my brother or how to handle a bipolar patient. And so my mom became really kind of entrenched in that, you know, whole business. And then my youngest brother and I were kind of more on our own. My dad was working nights. The 3 older kids, my one brother ended up in a psychiatric hospital. And then my other brother, who was my sister's twin, he was drafted into the Vietnam War. And so for quite a few years, things were just kind of, well, it was the 60s and the early 70s. And so it was a very chaotic time to be growing up. Mm-hmm. And I became kind of promiscuous, and my dad wasn't around. I didn't have any feedback from him. And at age 17, I got pregnant. And then I went off to New York City with my boyfriend and had an abortion in 1971. So that started my, what I now know as my conversion experience. God used that, but not for 40 years later. So in 1971, I went off to New York City, and at that time, the abortions weren't even legal. And so it was Dr. Bernard Nathanson, who now we know had a conversion experience, that was running that clinic and performed that abortion. Mm-hmm. And so I never told anybody about that until many, many years later. So the man I was dating, he was older than me, and he knew about it, and one other person. And so that was my secret that I kept inside for all those years.
Well, before we get into your conversion experience, which I definitely want to ask about, was there much faith for you? Was God very much a part of your life when you were a young child?
Well, he was in our family. I mean, I made all my sacraments, and, you know, my mom took us to church. We went to catechism every Saturday, went to confession. And so he was a part of my life. And I think it just became kind of muddled in my teen years, you know, mm-hmm. what my faith, how, you know, what my faith was. But I now know that he was, you know, a huge part of my life ever since I was a child. I just didn't recognize it. And my grandmother, my mom's mom, always said, "Jesus loves you, Jesus loves you." That was the only person that I ever heard that from. Mm-hmm. Because on my dad's side, and my dad, he was the fear, God of fear, you know, and judgment. And so that's what I was kind of raised with, more, you know, the fear of God rather than the love of God. And so, you know, that's what stuck with me, was that fear of God, where that's where, you know, I think I was just afraid I was condemned and going to hell, you know. So, and then that kind of, you know, kind of that caused my separation between God and me, you know. I did it to myself. I excommunicated myself, basically, you know.
So. Just as a side note, you mentioned Chrysler. My dad was a senior draftsman at Chrysler.
Oh, wow.
In Detroit.
Wow.
And I'm only mentioning that because the next coincidence, if it is a coincidence, is that we lived for a short while in Ocala, Florida. We had a wonderful Irish priest who we've had on our Catholic Vitamins program a couple times, and he really touched my heart and soul. But he used to pray for the conversion. In earlier years, he used to pray for the conversion of Nathanson, the abortion doctor who did countless. I just can't think how many abortions he at one time had been involved in. So that's where you started to talk about your journey to conversion. Why don't you take us into that?
Yeah, so I got married to a man who I was dating for 4 years in Michigan. We moved out to Utah, and he finished his schooling out there. And then from there, we ended up moving to Tucson, Arizona, because he had a degree in, he was a soil scientist, so he got his degree in arid lands. And so we got married in 1978, and we moved to Tucson, Arizona in 1980. And we went down to Tucson to visit his parents, because they retired from Michigan to Tucson. And we actually went there for my sister-in-law's wedding. And while we were there, my husband went by the University U of A to check out the job board, and he found a job that he wanted to apply for. So he went and talked to the soil scientist, and he got the professor, and he hired him. So we went back to Logan, Utah, and packed up our little car and drove down to Tucson, and we got a place. We lived with his folks until we got a place there, and my husband worked for the university. And at that time, certainly after we moved to Tucson, then I became extremely sick. And I kept going to all these doctors, and everybody said, you know, I was okay. But I got really sick with valley fever and ended up in the hospital and almost died from that, almost within the year of moving to Tucson. And at that time, I was going to real estate school. My father-in-law was a real estate broker, and so I was going to real estate school and working for him. Well, I completed that and got my license and everything to work in real estate, but I was too sick to do anything. I ended up basically on bed rest for almost a year.
Oh.
And then my husband, he lost his job because that's when President Reagan was in there and they cut all the grants to a lot of the different organizations. And so we ended up moving out by Yuma, which was out in the middle of the desert, and he worked on a cotton farm. And I want to call those literally my desert years because I was out there for about 7 years, about 124 degrees on a daily basis. And, and we were very isolated. And so at that time, I still was kind of separated from myself. I was just kind of a lost person. You know, I didn't really know what direction I was taking. I was missing my family, and my husband worked 14 hours a day, 7 days a week. So I was kind of on my own back then, and I wasn't healed, and I wasn't a very strong person. And but I got pregnant out there, and I ended up having an ectopic pregnancy and lost that baby. And then we were seeing a fertility specialist because I was having trouble getting pregnant. And when I did finally get pregnant, I told my husband I wasn't going to live out there anymore because it was just too isolated. So he quit his job working in farming, and we moved back into Tucson. And at that time, he got a job working for the federal government, and we ended up moving up to Snowflake, Arizona. And that's kind of, my mom died at that time back in Michigan. She was diagnosed with cancer, and she died within 3 months. And when I went back to her, I was with her when she passed away. And at that time, we had the Sacred Heart of Jesus next to her bedside table. And that's when I first noticed that when she died, that Sacred Heart of Jesus kind of lit up, and it kind of got a glow around it. And so that was my conversion, where my conversion started. Mm-hmm. And so, anyway, we moved from Snowflake down to Safford, and we were only up in Snowflake about 18 months. And then I found out I was pregnant again with my daughter, Rachel. And we moved to Safford, and I had two beautiful children. And we were there another 15 months, and we got transferred over to Cottonwood, Arizona. And that is, we were there about 4 years, and we loved living in Cottonwood. It was a small community. My kids were doing really well, and we were doing great. Well, what happened to me when I was pregnant with my son is they diagnosed me with fibromyalgia and thyroid problems. And so he was now 5 years old. And for the 5 years, I was really struggling with chronic pain issues due to the fibromyalgia. So I was being treated for fibromyalgia and chronic pain. And one day, we were back into the church. I was going to Immaculate Conception in Cottonwood, and the kids were, my son was in catechism, and I was meeting friends in church and what have you. And we decided to start going to Sedona to church at St. John Vianney. And so I had quite a few friends that were going there. So we were driving back and forth to Sedona every Sunday to Mass, and one Sunday after Mass, we decided to stop at the new Walgreens, and when we were pulling out of there, a girl ran a red light and smashed into me, and she totaled her car, and it put me over the top into very chronic pain, and the pain was so bad I could hardly tolerate it. And so my kids were okay. They got whiplash, but I was suffering really bad with neck and head and back pain and leg pain and just intolerable pain. Well, at the same time, my husband got a notice that we were going to be transferred to Prescott Valley. And the house that we were renting was sold right from underneath us. So we had 30 days to get out, find a house over in Prescott Valley and move. And I just didn't know how I was going to do that with two small children and pack up a house and move in 30 days. And God provided. He really was starting to be with me, or at least I noticed he was with me to give me the grace. So we found a house in Prescott Valley and moved over here. And shortly after being here in Prescott Valley, where I now live, we've been here for almost 20 years, there was a notice on the window of the church. My son had been going to catechism. I think it was Bible study or Bible school when we were there in the summertime. I noticed there was a sign on the window at the church, and it said, healing mass. Well, I didn't know what a healing mass was, but I knew I needed healing. I was in extreme pain and really suffering a lot. And so I went to the healing mass, and it turned out it was Father Peter Rookie from Chicago, and they call him the miracle priest that was doing that healing mass. And so that night we had the mass, and afterwards they did the healing service. And I was like one of the first ones to run up there. I just thought, whatever he has, I want it. I couldn't hardly deal with this anymore. And so I went up to the altar where he was praying over everybody. And just as I got up there, he said, now put your toes right up against the step, and everybody lined up. And so I did that, and he never touched me, but he prayed over me. And as I was walking back to my seat, I was slain in the spirit then. And I didn't know what that was back then. I now do. But so I was slain in the spirit, and I was just like, you know, I just didn't know what happened to me. And so for the next 3 days, when I went home, I was like in a bubble of God's grace. I was just surrounded with this love and this peace that came over me, and I couldn't even explain it. I just knew I was being loved by the Lord for the first time, in my opinion, that I really felt his love and his peace. And literally from that day on, my whole life changed. From that healing service, I started being able to keep awake. I was able to work. I received a job that I could work at home. And I was starting to, I finally was unpacking my things that were in the garage from our move. I was given the grace, and the chronic pain level dropped so I could function. I still have chronic pain, but it's not to the level it was then. And so from that moment on, my life changed. And shortly after that is when I started into ministry work from that moment on. So
Just
kind of started my conversion.
All right. Just for a help to any listeners who are not charismatic in nature or haven't had the experience of charismatic worship, who may not be familiar with the words slain in the spirit, why don't you just describe briefly your understanding of what that means?
Yeah, so for me, I was prayed over, and then I just kind of fell back into, nobody ever touched me, but I ended up kind of just laying on the floor and being surrounded. I was in kind of like a sleep, you know, and not, I didn't come out of it for a little while. You know, I was in this restful sleep, and then I woke up, and I just was kind of in a bubble of God's grace. So, you know, for me, it was just being resting in God's arms is like what I like to call it. I don't know if that explains it or not, but, that's how I felt, you know.
Well, I've been to Franciscan University for 11 years. Many of our listeners have heard me talk about this, and in the early years, they would open the last night up to the community, and hundreds of people would come in, and they would have priests and lay people who are used to praying for others pray along the front and along the side walls. And I'm used to seeing those who are resting in the spirit or slain in the spirit, however you would understand it. And it is a beautiful, peaceful time of knowing God's great love and his gentle embrace. So I just want to share that with our listeners. You started to talk about ministry, and as we move towards what you're going to be doing here shortly in Arizona, let's talk about Life Connections, if that's where you'd like to jump in with ministry.
What I'd like to start with is God kind of took me, he kind of taught me from kindergarten up, okay. You know, because I had been away from the church for a long time. And so I got a job working at a Christian preschool where we were talking. That way I could take my daughter there and not have to pay any money, and I could still be home with my kids. And and by the way, her name is Rachel. The Lord gave me that name in my fifth month of pregnancy. But anyway, I started in a preschool program working with young children, kindergartners, and you know, we taught them about Jesus and Scripture and what have you. And it was not a Catholic preschool; it was a Christian preschool. And then my daughter was in Girl Scouts, and she, her Girl Scout leader was teaching catechism up at St. Germain's. So she invited me to come and be her assistant and teach the kids. And so I started doing that. We started teaching catechism, and then I ended up getting my my catechetical certificate for teaching. That took me about 2 years to do that, and so I am a certified catechist. And during that time, that's where I thought the Lord was calling me to be a teacher and to teach the kids. And shortly after that, it was about 1997, I want to say, 98, we were having a ministry fair up at our church, and I literally felt like somebody took a pencil and put it in my hand and signed my name on the Respect Life Ministry. I had no idea what that meant or what it was, but that's where my name ended up, and I got a call from them inviting me to come to their meeting. Well, I went to their meetings, and I'm like, I'm not coming back to this. I don't even want to be here. They're talking about abortion, and that started bringing up all those feelings in me, and that was about 1997, 1998. And so next thing you know, we were at a meeting. I went back, and they wanted somebody to do education. Well, my hand went up, and I became the educational coordinator for the Respect Life Ministry. And the coordinator was in charge of all the, that had all the educational materials. She brought me this great big box of all these videos and educational materials. Well, I started plowing through those and reading. And that's when I really realized what I had done and how wrong it was. And God really started to speak to me. And so I started to deal with that, and I went to talk to my priest, and I went to talk to my priest about it, and we had a nice talk, and ended up, you know, really feeling that I needed to go on a retreat. And at that same time is when I learned about the first Rachel's Vineyard retreat in Arizona. That was in 2000, I found out about the very first Rachel's Vineyard retreat being held in Arizona. So I signed up for that, and the church sponsored me with a scholarship so I could go. And so we did that, and I came back from that retreat, and I knew this was something God wanted me to do. So in 2000, I started figuring out what I needed to do to put on a Rachel's Vineyard retreat. And I did my first Rachel's Vineyard retreat in 2002. It took me about 2 years to get everything that I needed for that. And I went back to New Jersey. They were having a national conference back there. And so I went back to New Jersey and kind of learned about how to do a retreat and all of that. And so I've been doing Rachel's Vineyard retreats since 2002. In northern Arizona, and this will be my 31st retreat coming up in the end of March, 1st of April. So I've put on 31 retreats. And during that whole time when I've been doing the retreats, I was doing two or three a year. We started out at one a year, but kind of graduated to two a year. And then 4 years ago, I lost my husband. He died kind of suddenly, and so I'm a recent widow. And so now we're doing two a year instead of three a year because it's just too much for me. And also the Lord called me into the pregnancy help ministry. I was praying at Planned Parenthood in Prescott for every Thursday for 10 years because that's the day they did their abortions there. And then the one day the Lord spoke to me and said, there's a building right there. Go check it out. And so there was a small office space available, and that was, about 7 years ago. And so it'd be like 2009 is when I started Life Connections. So we found this little building right next to Planned Parenthood, and I got the biggest sign I could use in the city and put it on our on the little property, and we started doing opening up the pregnancy help ministry. And the Planned Parenthood had been there for 26 years, and we were there for a year and a half, and they moved out, and they moved into Prescott Valley. And so as soon as my lease was up there in Prescott, I moved into Prescott Valley as soon as we could, as close as we get could get and afford. And they had moved out within the year. So after 27 years, we're now Planned Parenthood free in this part of Yavapai County. So, yeah, so we literally followed them, and I was really committed just to prayer. You know, whether we ever served one person or not, we were praying, because I knew the battle was in the spiritual realm. We didn't know what was going on in the spiritual realm, you know. And so we committed our faithful volunteers to just praying and serving and doing what God asked us to do, whether we ever served one client or not. Well, this is, like I said, we opened in 2009. We've moved into this office space. And 2 years ago, I expanded. And so now we have 2,400 square feet with a baby boutique, pregnancy options, different classes that we do. And so we're now doing full-time ministry here in Prescott Valley, and I'm also doing the Rachel's Vineyard ministry and the pregnancy help ministry. So I'm a very busy person.
I guess. And you still are apparently sensitive to nudges by the Lord, because that's what brought us together. And
yes.
And I want to give just a – we're sort of wrapping up time-wise, Diane. I want to ask you to give information about the Rachel's Vineyard retreat. Who is invited, and where are you going to be holding it?
Yes. So last fall, we found this beautiful retreat center in Strawberry, Arizona. We've been kind of homeless. We go wherever wherever the Lord sends us. And then last fall, we were led to go to this beautiful retreat center in Strawberry, Arizona. And so our next retreat will be starts on Friday, March 31st through Sunday, April 2nd. And we like our retreatants to be there about 3 o'clock in the afternoon so we can welcome them and get them all settled in before the retreat started. Our retreat theme is Footprints. It was then that I carried you. And anybody that has lost a child due to miscarriage, stillbirth, abortion, is invited to come, men and women, non-Catholic or Catholic, Christian of you know, if you believe in the Lord, then we invite you, because it is a Christian-based retreat. And the cost is $150 if you register before February 28th, and I think we're right at that mark now, and $175 afterwards. We do have some partial scholarships available, and we never turn anybody away if they can't pay. The phone number to contact if you want to sign up, the girl's name is Lou, who's doing our intake. And her number is 928-910-5253. Again, that's Lou, 928-910-5253. Or you can email us at rvrpvaz@gmail.com. Again, that's rvrpvaz@gmail.com. We do have a $50 registration fee, and that is non-refundable. So I really encourage people that have experienced the pain of abortion, miscarriage, or stillbirth, whether it's physical pain or emotional pain, to come and experience the healing love of Jesus. We have a beautiful, caring, and compassionate team. Both men and women are welcome to attend this Christian-based retreat.
Diane Diane Duncan, director of Life Connections, and she has shared beautifully about her journey and her experience with abortion, and now doing this work with Rachel's Vineyard. And an honor and a joy to be able to be with you on our program. I will tell you, Diane, one of the things we found out is that sometimes people will listen to us months, sometimes many months later, so they may have missed this particular retreat. that you're offering, but give us your connectivity information at Life Connections, whatever you'd like to give, phone or email, so that in case anybody wants to reach out to you and it's later than this retreat, they'll be able to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. My number here at Life Connections is 928-227-3130. 928-227-3130. Or you could go to our international website, rachelsvineyard.org, and click on retreats, and you can get a list of all the retreats that will be in Arizona. Again, that's rachelsvineyard.org. You click on retreats, and it will list all the retreats that are going to be in Arizona. Rachel's Vineyard is the largest post-abortion healing ministry in the world and has gone to over 80 countries. So I hope you will definitely contact us and come and receive the healing and the mercy of God at one of these beautiful retreats.
Amen. Diane Duncan, thank you for coming on Catholic Vitamins, and bless you and your work.
Thank you so much for having me, and God bless everybody.
Our new friend, Diane Duncan, from the Prescott Valley area in northern Arizona. And what a blessing to hear of her conversion of heart and mind and soul after abortion being something active in her life, and then for the great work that she's doing helping others. Thank you, Diane, and we will pray for your event, and we're running your announcements on our Catholic radio station already. Dee, have you got some feedback?
I do have some feedback. This is kind of some happy feedback and some sadder feedback. This came from our listener, Lisa, our friend of Catholic Vitamins, Lisa, in Colorado. Dear Deacon Tom and Dee, thank you so much for the gift of your Lenten reflection book. It is a beautiful addition to our Lenten practice. My husband and I are reading it together.
Oh, that's nice.
We were moved to tears this morning reading the passage from Matthew. We love our son so much and can't even imagine how much more our Heavenly Father loves us. I was diagnosed with breast cancer last week, the first Friday of Lent. My husband and I were comforted by your words in your reflection about your brother's cancer and your reversion. We are trying to trust that God will bring a greater good from this cross I must bear. Well, here we are talking about crosses to bear again.
Amen, amen. And I hope that it benefited you to hear from our friend Sandy Gregg and the cross that she's bearing. But we have you in prayer. You know that already. We've added you to our list. And
well, she knows that. But you wrote back to her, and then we got this back again from her. Thank you for your kind reply. Here are my thoughts. Please feel free to share my email if you think it would be helpful. I, of course, welcome any and all prayers. That is such a nice idea for that Phoenix parish to offer cards with names of people to pray for. As a matter of fact, my husband and I are doing a novena right now to St. Peregrine to be finished the day before my surgery. My surgery is scheduled for March 17th. Isn't that St. Patrick's Day?
It is, yes. Uh-huh.
Yes, that's right. So I am also praying to St. Patrick as well, she said.
Oh.
I'm leaving soon for the Women's Journey retreat at the YMCA in Estes Park. Oh, do I remember those.
I know you do, dear. You used to talk about them.
Oh, when I read those words, Lisa, I wanted to go with you.
Well, there's a lot packaged in there that our listeners may not understand, but basically I had visited this parish down in the Mesa, Arizona area. Mesa is a Phoenix suburb, and they have a chapel devoted to St. Peregrine and to prayer for those who have cancer, who have either beaten cancer or who are struggling with its effects. And God willing, on Wednesday the 22nd, I'm already unveiling what I'm going to be talking about tomorrow, but on Wednesday, May 22nd, I hope to be leading a group of our parishioners carpooling down there for us to go pray for those with cancer. So that's part of our education for Lent, to give the alms of your prayer. Every time we hear the word alms, we think of money. here the church is, or here that priest or deacon is talking about money again. No, no, no. You can give the alms of your prayers to those who are in need. And you can give the alms of your time for the service and the help of others. Do you have anything else to share, dear?
Well, because I forgot to bring the books over here with me, I'll run over and get them in a second. But why don't I just go ahead and do Vita Scrabble for next time?
All right, Vita Scrabble.
Next one will be Catholic vitamin F, ends in L, eight letters. F ends in L, eight letters.
All right. You
tell them what to do, and I'll go get the books.
All right. I don't know if I'll get done ahead of you or not, but Catholic vitamin T's, the Scrabble that we talked about, is we give listeners the first and last letter of the vitamin, and people take a guess. Sometimes they've received books or CDs, a few times DVDs, and that's if they've guessed the correct vitamin for the next show, and if D pulls their name. So you're back. All right. Well, we can do this and then do our wrap-up. So you send your guess to catholicvitamins@gmail.com. Our last thing to share on this show is Hot Off the Presses, books that we'll be giving to our listeners. They are brand new books, one from Ave Maria Press. It's entitled Mary's Way, The Power of Entrusting Your Child to God, Your Child at Any Age, Dear Listeners. This is written by Judy Landrieu Klein, has a foreword by Lisa Handy from Catholic Mom, and this is a nice-looking book.
And in my hand, I have one from Sophia Institute Press, and the title is Single and Catholic, Finding Meaning in Your State of Life, written by Judy Keene.
All right. So if you'd like either of those books, you can't do both, but if you'd like either the book about single and Catholic or Mary's Way, a parenting book, turning your child over to the Lord and to Mary, send your request to catholicvitamins@gmail.com. You don't have to write the words, lovely D, my guess is this. Just write down Mary's Way or Catholic and Single. We'll know what you want.
And this was going to be the final week, but I think we're going to run it one more week, only because I'm going away.
All right. We promised that we'd say something about that. So as we wrap up, what's this about, D? Where are you going?
Well, I think we said last week that we had a new grandbaby.
We do have born. A new grandbaby.
So I am taking off this week to go visit this new grandbaby and get my arms around that baby. Sorry you can't come.
How special is that, dear friends? Maybe what we can do is we can put a few pictures when Dee gets out there with her new granddaughter. We can put some pictures on Friends of Catholic Vitamins.
That would be great. Yeah.
Get a chance to see that.
So you may have to do a podcast by yourself.
I might have to, yeah.
Or maybe you can call me and I could chime in a little bit over the phone.
Yeah, or maybe I could get a guest host or hostess in here.
Well, that would be nice too, I guess.
We'll see if that can happen.
That would be different.
All right. Dear friends, that's Catholic Vitamins. Our journey in Lent includes reflections and prayer and almsgiving and we go to adoration, we do the Stations of the Cross. What are you doing in your parish? What are you doing in your life? Do you have anything before we wrap?
Before we go out, I just wanted to give, I have a quiet moment here related to Lent. And this is attributed to Pope Benedict XVI. He said, Lent stimulates us to let the Word of God penetrate our life, and in this way to know the fundamental truth, who we are, where we come from, where we must go, what path we must take in life. That was my quiet moment I had in my inbox today.
Very good. Thank you, everyone, for listening to Catholic Vitamins. Thank you, dear Dee.
I wasn't finished.
Oh, you got something else?
And I had another vitamin.
Dee? All right, come on.
Well, I happened to walk by our little Catherine Doherty Banana House calendar the other day, and I saw this one. This was her words from a book called Season of Mercy. Lent is a sort of sea of God's mercy.
S-E-A?
S-E-A, of God's mercy. Warm and quiet and inviting us to swim in. If we did, we would be not only refreshed, but cleansed. for God's mercy cleanses as nothing else does.
Amen. Amen to that. Having just gone to confession within a few days, I totally agree. The word swimming makes me think, you know what came to my mind? We always are looking for guests and topics. We have two parishioners who just came back from the Holy Land, Fran and Sandy.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
Fran was telling me what it's like to swim in the Dead Sea.
That's right. I remember him talking about that.
Maybe we can see if we can get them to come on as a guest sometime.
Well, there you go.
An interview.
Maybe you could get a mini-interview. Take your phone and get a mini-interview with them.
Dear friends, we're prattling, and here it is, the end of Catholic Vitamins. We hope that there's been some fact or pieces of education in the show for you. We enjoy doing Catholic Vitamins. We enjoy our guests. We thank our guest Diane Duncan for participating in this, and also to Sandy Gray. God bless.
Bye.
From A to Z, Catholic Vitamins. Don't enter the race without them. See you next time.
This is Deacon Tom. Blessings.
See you.